So next one, but this is still part of number three, remember, is excitement. It's sometimes translated as agitation. And this is a kind of distraction or wandering, and it can develop at other times, not just in meditation, whereas laxity is more specifically in meditation than in other things. We tend to have lethargy outside of meditation rather than laxity. But agitation we get, or excitement we get lots of times. So excitement focuses on a sensual object that we are familiar with, that we've had some previous contact with it, and the mind is scattered outwards, you know. The mind grasps onto the object with a feeling of clinging, of craving, of wanting. Yeah? So there we go. And so it obviously functions to obstruct calm abiding, because very difficult to have calm abiding when the mind is thinking about chocolate cake and pizza and this really good-looking person you met. Okay? Because the mind's outward. It's not on the object of meditation. So excitement is slightly different than scattering, okay? Excitement is always directed towards an object that you have attachment and attraction for, okay? Excitement is a form of attachment. Scattering and excitement falls under the category of scattering. It's a type of scattering, but scattering can include other things. For example, when you're sitting and meditating and then all of a sudden you remember the guy who criticized you, or you remember what happened 10 years ago and you get really angry, yeah, or you have jealousy or resentment or any of these things come up. So those things are a type of scattering, but they're not excitement. Excitement is referring to, you know, when you have objects of attachment coming in the mind. But scattering and can be towards all sorts of other things as well. Scattering can even be towards virtuous objects, like you meditate on the Buddha, and then all of a sudden, you know, Tara walks in, and you want to switch your object to meditation. Or you're meditating on the Buddha, and you go, oh, I got to meditate on bodhicitta instead. Okay? So you have a virtuous object coming in. It's certainly better than, you know, pizza and rock and roll music, but it's still scattering the mind from your main object to meditation. Okay? So they usually emphasize the excitement more than the scattering, because when our mind goes off of the object of meditation, it's usually to an object that we have attachment for. And so as you're doing the meditation, this can be something to really look out for. I mean, you get a really good idea of the kinds of things that your mind has difficulty with. You get an idea of the kinds of things you're attached to, because you watch where the excitement arises for. Okay? When you start daydreaming of something that's wonderful, what are you daydreaming about? And those are the things we're usually attached to. So then we're able to see them really clearly, and then we can also start applying the antidotes to them. Remembering their impermanence, remembering that they have limited ability to bring us happiness, remembering that even if we get them, they're going to bring a whole new set of problems and we'll probably still be dissatisfied. Okay? So this is a very, very good way to get to know yourself. We're always saying, I don't know myself, I don't know who I am. Just watch your mind when you're trying to concentrate. Yeah? Get a really good picture. Okay? So also, we get a good idea when we see the kinds of things that our mind scatters to, not just the objects of desire when we scatter and it's excitement, but when we scatter and we dredge up all these old memories of past hurts and past pains and grudges and resentments and jealousy and feeling of incompetence and discouragement and, you know, our whole other variety of companions here. So when those things come up, then also recognize that they are a way that the mind is, again, scattering from your object of meditation. Yeah? And then you can get a good idea of, again, the things that the mind is clinging on to, the things that haven't yet been resolved by the kinds of things that work in this more negative kind of scattering, where there's a lot of painful feelings come up. And then again, apply the antidotes to those, meditating on loving kindness, meditating on patience, seeing the disadvantages of the anger, and so on, so that we can again balance the mind out. Yeah?
I'm trying to keep focus on what I'm trying to ask you, so it's just well, it's something that's been like driving crazy lately, and I think it is because I get extremely stressed about something, but I have a way to rationalize that distraction, because somehow what I'm getting distracted about is to benefit others. See, what you're saying is just hitting it somewhere, but I haven't put it together, that even if it's to benefit others, there must be a way to look at it so that it doesn't grab me with that passion. Like sometimes people get into, like, one of the last things I was dealing with is, like, welfare rights or, like, refugees or something. Mm-hmm. So I am so passionate about these Spanish kids that I have to help them so much that I can't even meditate.
Right.
And so I feel that I'm justified because what I'm trying to do is good. You know,
oh, yeah, I know.
I have no rest.
Yeah.
And what you're saying right now is that I study a distraction, regardless of how good it is.
Right.
And how positive it can be. It's actually doing me no good because I have no peace.
Yeah.
Because I haven't recognized it as a distraction. I have lost my boundary.
Yeah. Yeah. The mind's become very obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's kind of gone beyond the bounds of compassion into obsession or righteousness, something like that. Oh, this is very common. This is very common.
But we think that you justify
your... Oh, yeah, completely justified. I mean, when you go in and do meditation retreat, I mean, we come out with the best remedies to save the world. I mean, we design all sorts of, you know, social action things. We design orphanages and welfare projects. We know how we're going to build a monastery. We have the whole visit of the Dalai Lama planned out. You know, we do all of this in our meditation because it's all so virtuous. But it's not the object of meditation. Okay? So, I mean, we really have to be careful with this one, too.
So, what is that?
Right. But when you're in your meditation session, that's not your object to meditation. The creativity should be on the object to meditation. Okay? Because the thing, what happens there is one day, you know, you sit down and you're meditating. One day you're bringing the Dalai Lama to Seattle. And the next day you're building a huge Dharma center. And the next day you're working for refugees. And the next day you're, you know, doing something about welfare rights. And in the end, when you get up for your meditation session, you know, kind of it's all gone anyway, and maybe some of it you act on and some of it you don't, but regardless, you haven't developed any stability in the meditation. So, but I have a friend who says he keeps a notepad by his meditation cushion because he gets really good ideas when he's meditating. So he writes them down, then he has them down, then he can say, okay, I won't forget it, I'll think about it later. Yeah. The disadvantages of that is that some days the mind's really active and you find yourself writing all the time. We have incredible creative capacity, you see. Yeah, you have to make your own mind peaceful. Very much, very much. And it's saying to yourself, I'm glad I'm thinking about those things. It's better than, you know, sitting and thinking about being violent, which I often distract myself with. So it's better I'm thinking about bringing the Dalai Lama to Seattle. But that's not the object of my meditation right now. And it's going to actually please His Holiness much more if I develop some concentration. Okay? And like you said, make peace with yourself, develop that kind of mental stability. And then in your break time, when you're off your cushion, then you can think about all these things. And then you can actually do something to act upon them. Maybe actually I better stop here and come back to excitement next time. Because it's a little bit long, because there's gross excitement and subtle excitement and the antidotes to excitement. Okay. Well, come next time to the next exciting episode.
You know, it's like, no matter how good it is what you care for, the minute that it becomes anxiety created,
right,
then you know that there is something wrong about
right,
what you care about. It.
Right.
If you're in suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It's that weird to like define how that suffering is non-virtue and how that suffering is virtue.
Mm.
You know, because you can feel kind of nice because you feel so much suffering for others, but it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of blinding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is really good what you're saying, because it's pinpointing the difference between kind of what we need to work as a bodhisattva, to be a bodhisattva, what a bodhisattva might feel, and what emotional suffering is, and the difference between the two.
Yeah?
Because often in, you know, in our development of love and compassion, we confuse them. Yeah, the emotional love and compassion, and this kind of, I mean, because when you look, think of a bodhisattva's got to have this incredible kind of mental stability or mental peace, some ability to be continuous with their activity. Whereas this kind of, when the mind just gets so compassionate that it's obsessed with something, then, you know, we're like, we're really hot on it for a while, and then we quickly get disillusioned and disappointed and burnt out. Mm-hmm. Sit quiet for a few minutes.